I'm Pierre Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya, in our mother continent of Africa. And we continue with our interrogation of things African. And today, we go a little into history to ask ourselves, how were children dealt with during the colonial period? And when we are discussing this subject, it is important that the African continent must also be understood in the context of the Africans in the diaspora, because the diaspora is where the African peoples were taken and they were abused. And let us look at the underlying philosophy of colonization, having been the immediate successor of slavery. If one understands it in that way, one knows that while slavery entailed the actual physical movement of populations outside of the continent, colonization had a different approach, that they came to the continent and actually used labor for the purpose of tilling the land, which was the major activity at that time, and whatever little mining that took place during that period. And the history of child labor, the history of the abuse of children is sickening. Sickening. It doesn't matter whether the colonizer was the Portuguese. The Portuguese went into territories such as Angola and Mozambique and Guinea-Bissau and Cabo Verde. And because the laws had not been introduced to determine who a child was, later laws were introduced to determine the age of majority and the age of consent. Little children were used in picking cotton. Little children were used in the farmlands. Little children were born and bred simply because you are increasing your labor. So that women and men in certain communities in Africa were seen as breeders of labor. And this was rampant with the Portuguese. They did it in the mother colonies, that is Angola, Mozambique, and Guinea-Bissau, and Cabo Verde. But even where they were exported in other parts of the Greek territory, if you look at the way children were treated, particularly in areas such as Brazil, it was the same thing. They were bred, and the Portuguese also had one very curious thing, that they actually forced women to have children with the Portuguese themselves, and this gave birth to the mulattoes. And when the mulattoes were born, then they were made the supervisors, because in the hierarchy of things, the lighter your skin was, the more superior you are. So it was the Portuguese colonizer, the mulatto, then the dark-skinned one, and the little niños who were then used as slaves. And it was the same with the Belgians. In fact, in the Congo Free Colony, which was actually a private property of King Leopold of the Belgian, created by Henry Morton Stanley, he created colonies, and the main thing that was being obtained from the Congo at that time was rubber. And young people were created, were used for purposes of harvesting rubber. And if you did not reach your portion, they cut your hand. And this was done even to children. And indeed, there are estimations that over 15 million people were killed in this manner by King Leopold of the Belgians. And very unique, King Leopold of the Belgian even created a colony of children. And this colony of children were put in camps which were run by elements from the Roman Catholic Church for purposes of their conversion into Roman Catholicism and being used as labor. The same was also seen in the colonies of Kenya. In Kenya, children were used in the tea estates and in the coffee estates. And of course, in Tanzania, they were used, and that was the basis largely partly of the Hehe Rebellion and the Maji Maji Rebellions, because young people were used in a similar manner. So it was the British, the French, the Belgians. The French, of course, were doing so in their colonies in Central Africa, and they were doing so in their colonies in the western part of Africa, such as La Côte d'Ivoire, what is present-day Mali, in Senegal, and they were also doing so in Madagascar. So the use of child labor was rampant. And if one left the African continent and one went to places where African labor had been exported to in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, in the islands of the Caribbean, children were also deployed and used. And of course, breeding was one of the things that was encouraged amongst black population, because the more children you produced, the more you had a constant supply of labor. In that sense, one can see that the abuse of labor was rampant and was part of the manner in which the colonizers used the colonized peoples. Later, of course, when their consciences had been pricked, they started coming up with the laws. That is, after the whole idea, after in France, after the French Revolution, after you talk about rights, child labor, you then started saying, though, but who is a child? So one sees this big debate in Europe. Who is a child? What is the age of consent? Is it 18? Is it 16? Is it 21? That is then something that is used particularly in the colonies when they now want to go to the next level and they begin to talk about child labor. But remember that the Africans were not considered as being equal to the colonizers. So every African was considered a child. In fact, when you see the use of the term boy, and it has given birth to a Kiswahili word boy, it came from the English word boy. In other words, even when you are 60 years of age or 50 years, a little boy who is white would call you boy, boy. And in the hearing of the Africans, they say boy. So a boy meant a child. So with that kind of approach, all children, all adults in African societies were considered to be boys. And of course, girls were also exploited. There were certain jobs or certain tasks that were considered to be much more suitable for women. So labor was also genderized, so that the Mem Sahib was a word that was used particularly in the former British colonies. Remember that the British, having colonized India, also brought some of the administrators, particularly to the East African coast. And a Mem Sahib then meant the mother of the house. And the mother of the house had control over the little girls and their mothers in the household. So child labor was not only restricted to the farm, but also to the household. And I think in the American context, particularly in the southern part of America, where cotton was the produce that was being farmed and picked, the whole idea which Malcolm X talks about so very effectively, the idea of the house Negro and the field Negro, came out of that. The field Negro, if you extrapolated that to the continent of Africa, were the young people who are working in the farms the whole day, tending horses, tending sugar cane, tending cotton, tending millet, tending sorghum, tending coffee, tending tea, and these were treated as the field Negroes. They were thus called in the United States of America, but they were called farm hands in the British colonies. And of course, they had different names in the Portuguese colonies, the French colonies, and even in the German colonies, as we saw in Namibia during the massacre of the Hereros and the Namas. And those who were house Negroes were the ones who were privileged to work in the houses. And I use the word privileged very deliberately, because when you worked in the house, you ate the remnants of the food that had been consumed by the master, and therefore the quality of your life in that spectrum was a little better. But the message here is that all Africans during the colonial period were considered to be valuable only as long as they did the bidding of the colonizers. And children of age, to mean those who had the capacity to work, were not spared. And they were used to good effect, and they were not given any food, and even the rations that they were given were deliberately designed to keep them well so that they could continue to farm. The question has been asked, what happened to children when they no longer had the capacity to work? When you had no capacity to work, you are useless. You are left to die, or in certain cases used for medical experimentation. This is what Eugene Fischer was famous for in present-day Namibia, South German West Africa, where he was subjecting sick people to experimentation. And those who talk about the origins of some of what we now use in pediatrics is out of the experimentation that sick and dying children were subjected to by colonial doctors in order to understand how tropical diseases operated. Some were abandoned and left unburied. And this we see in testimonies that have now been recorded, particularly in what is now the Democratic Republic of Congo during the reign of Leopold II of the Belgians. The laws in the colonies was one and uniform. All colonized people were subjected to the law. And in many instances, if a child did not do what they were expected to do, they would be punished as if they were adults. Remember, at certain times, children were separated from their parents, and they no longer had the joy or the privilege of being parented. They were treated as if they were adults and dealt with in the manner that adults would be dealt with. That was what was happening. It was one law for all colonized peoples, whether you are a child or an adult. Remember, you are a boy or a girl as long as you are colonized. Today, that is being frowned upon, but we know that child labor still persists in different parts of the continent of Africa, particularly. It was a colonial legacy. And this must be distinguished from what sometimes in African societies is called child work, which is meant to induct people into the craft that their parents are engaged in. In the colonial environment, it is not whether you liked it or not. It was forced labor. And if you look at it from that standpoint, young people did not have the opportunity to enjoy their childhood. You became of age and you are assigned to tasks. You are assigned to tasks which you had to undertake perhaps the whole day in the hot tropical sun, and you sometimes had to work to the death. And there are stories of how little children were dying because they did not have the capacity to work for long hours, but they were required to do so whether they liked it or not. Thank you very much. As we continue our conversations, we deserve and do now take a break to see you in a short while. Thank you very much and see you shortly.